Hello, it's the 1st of September 2025. This is your Biz News Briefing. I'm Alec Hogg. Well, in a way, it feels like the Neil De Beer show today. Our hero here at Biz News, Neil De Beer, the chairman of the UIM, passed away over the weekend. We'll have a proper tribute and stick around for the tailpiece to see how Neil, what Neil thought of our political personalities here in South Africa. But in case it gets missed, a former editor of The Citizen, an all-round good guy, Martin Williams, also died over the weekend. He was a councillor with the Democratic Alliance, and it was nice to see that the Citizen newspaper gave him due credit this morning for the role that he has played at that newspaper and indeed everywhere in his city that he loved so much in Johannesburg. Well, also coming up today, apart from Neil De Beer, we're going to take you into running the N2 gauntlet in Cape Town. It's a couple of interviews that I did last week, which is showing that there is a very dangerous road just outside the Cape Town airport. The luxury of being a South African member of parliament. We'll have a look at the world's richest or most wealthy company, NVIDIA, by far the biggest now in the world in market cap, and its impact of last week's results on share markets all around the world. Also, local company news, and as promised in that tailpiece, Neil De Beer and his take on South African politicians. But let's kick off with this tribute that our team put together for the inimitable Neil De Beer, the only man, the only person who's had a standing ovation at the Biz News conference. You needed to be there in March this year when Chris Stein and spoke to her regular Sunday show guest, Neil. And after their conversation, everyone stood as one and cheered him so loudly. A wonderful send-off. And this, our production team put together to show the send-off from the Biz News community as a whole. Rest well, Neil. Give them hell up there.
Neil, what would you like to say to your army of Biz News supporters?
Thank you so much for building this show with Chris and I, a normal old man and a stunning lady, that just give our heart's opinion. It's easy to tell our story because it's only the truth. You must remember a lie, and we're not scared. We get threatened on this show. We get told to shut up. Never. So for you, thank you for making this show possible and taking us from 20,000 views a week to more than 100,000. It means our message. Secondly, do not give up on the future of this country. Do not become negative of the rubbish that happens every day. Although we do a show of expose, just remember we do it because we want to change this country. This country cannot be changed by politicians. This country can be changed by you. So please, every day, make a change. And lastly, I want to thank Chris. I want to thank Alec. I want to thank the people that are unseen, the people that now have to, on a Sunday, edit and produce the show, the wonderful team behind Chris. I want to thank them. Thank my God Almighty. And all the well wishes. I cannot say in words thank you enough. So ki kara teka. Ki kara teka. This is the thing I leave you with. On your money, on the South African coat of arms, you'll see funny little letters at the bottom. It is Khoisan. It is in actual fact the South African national slogan. It replaced the Latin of ex unitatem vires, which used to mean unity in strength. The new one is the karateka. And what does that mean? Unity in diversity. Eenheid and diversiteit.
Absolutely brilliant. And you have to go and watch. That's the only thing you do today. Go and watch that tribute show. It's on BizNews TV. Neil put that message together for his Christmas message, really, to the tribe. But how appropriate. A man who battled cancer, and despite his massive challenges, health challenges, he still came on every Sunday on the Sunday show and gave a message of hope to the rest of us, as indeed that Christmas message was. Don't worry, Neil, we won't let you down. Well, here's another story that Neil de Beer would have got pretty excited about, and as I'm sure we all should be. Cape Town is trying to get itself onto global lists and being successful in many ways, but that also means it needs to be held to higher standards than other parts of the country, and an area which has been glossed over, perhaps even covered up, is the awful circumstances that are occurring just outside the Cape Town airport. I got hold of a couple of insiders who have been directly affected by the violence and the throwing of not stones, but not even half bricks, but 5 kilogram concrete missiles into vehicles, random vehicles, and asking, they are, that the city of Cape Town actually starts addressing this after 21 years of continued abuse and many deaths along this area. Let's have a look.
And then my son 2 weeks ago was coming back after work at 5:30 in the afternoon, and the traffic slowed down just after the airport, and a massive boulder was thrown at his window. If it had been an inch closer to his driver's seat, it would have killed him. Luckily, it went through the back window and landed in the back of the vehicle. But, you know, having these are just two close incidents that have happened. But as I say, this small community who really rely on that road to work, most people work in Cape Town or come from Cape Town and work here. It is known as Running the Gauntlet. It has got very dangerous. I mean, you do see police presence, but not all the time. I've certainly never seen a drone. I've heard about these drones that patrol this road all the time, but I've never seen one. And quite honestly, we don't go out after 5:30. We do not go into Cape Town. And my biggest concern is that all tourists coming from the Cape to the Winelands, this part of the Winelands, have to use that road. And there have been tourists that have had bad incidents.
Just explain the road for those who don't know the Cape that well. You get out at Cape Town International Airport, and what part of the road are we talking about here, Wayne?
So you get out of Cape Town International, and you can turn right and go to Cape Town, which that stretch seems to be okay as far as I understand, although I wouldn't like to be traveling that stretch at night. But if you turn left and you head towards Somerset West, Elgin, Gebro on that road, that is the road, the N2, that is lethal. The particularly bad part of that road is about 4 kilometers after the airport. There's a stretch, and it's the stretch that has tons of litter on the side of the road. It looks like, I mean, internationals coming here are horrified. It's like an apocalyptical site. There's horses and rubbish and dogs. And I understand we've got issues which we're trying to resolve in this country, but you know, for tourists, it's really your first introduction to this, to the Cape.
Well, you referred me to Paul, and Paul, maybe you can tell us your story, why you became so interested in this whole issue.
So we were traveling back from the Roy Els Hermanus area on Sunday the 13th to catch a flight back to Johannesburg. And at about 16:10, we'd just passed under the Muwe Bridge on the N2 going towards the airport. Then I noticed the overhead airport signage coming up. So I started moving over from the fast lane to the middle lane. Then I moved to the left lane. And about 500 meters or so past the Muwe Bridge, there's a pedestrian bridge. And just before that, there's a blue overhead sign. Where the column is for that sign, as we drove past there, I saw something flash up from behind the Onco barrier, and it was the figure of a human, and then I saw something hurtling towards the car. All happened in a flash of like less than a second. So there was this massive explosion, and it went through the passenger window. My wife was luckily bending forward at that stage. She was putting a handbag down at her feet. And the piece of concrete, which I estimate weighs about 5 kilos, hit the headrest where her head would have been if she'd been sitting back. But the glass from the window that shattered cut her face all over and went into her eyes and cut her cornea. So she was screaming that she couldn't see. So I quickly said to her, just look at me so I can see what's going on. And then I said to her, hold your scarf, which she had around her neck, over your face and put pressure on your face because I'm not going to stop until we get to a place of safety. So we carried on driving and probably 30 seconds or so later, a car came up on my right and there were two guys in the car, two colored guys. I estimate mid-30s. They both had mirror sunglasses on and they were shouting at me. So I thought they were saying that they'd seen what happened or that they were willing to help us. So I opened the window to see what they had to say. They said to me that I'd killed a kid and that I needed to stop. So then I immediately assessed the car and I looked at the bonnet and I looked at the mirror on the passenger side and things like that to see if there's any damage from a pedestrian accident. And I assumed that there was no damage. So I said to my wife, look, these guys are in on this. I'm not going to stop. I'm carrying on going to the airport. So then they cut in front of me. They started slowing down. They put their hazards on and then they tried to stop me. So I evaded them by swerving to the right, went around them, got back into the fast lane and headed to the airport. I saw them coming up behind me and then I lost them on the way to the airport. On the way there, I was calling 10111. We made calls from both our phones. And to this day, I'm still waiting for them to answer the call.
And that full story is also on BizNews TV. And that's our channel on YouTube.
Hermanus is a man from this windy little town called Yaku. Sorry, other way around. Yaku's from Hermanus. Yaku, we need to talk about your upgrade problem.
I don't have an upgrade problem.
Two Audis, an Opel, a Kia, and a Hyundai. It's five cars, Yaku.
Denial.
I just love cars. And we rebuy cars that make it so much easier for you and convenient to sell your car. You want to try it?
Okay, just once. Turn off the cameras.
I see how this is addictive.
Take two of those. We buy cars. The easiest way to sell your car by far.
Thanks, guys. We really do need a little bit of light relief today. On to the Sunday show. This was Neil and Chris for so long and so impactful. Towards the end, they would get maybe 200,000 people watching every show. Now, think about that. Take Ellis Park full to the rafters and take three of those, and that's how many people waited to watch Neil and Chris every Sunday. Well, Ronaldo Gous, who is also a very outspoken person, and he was also a politician. He spent 3 months in Parliament until he became the subject of some, pretty strong social media deplatforming, I guess you can call it that. And eventually the Democratic Alliance caved and got him to withdraw from Parliament was something that he did 15 years ago. Anyway, let's just leave it at that and move on to the latest Sunday show where Ronaldo shared with Chris something that certainly shocked me, Richard. I thought politicians were there to serve, not as a career option, to have the kind of returns and rewards that are now given to South African politicians. No wonder they hold on to their jobs with everything they've possibly got, even though many of them are really badly implicated in corruption. But I think you will find your eyes are also opened by what Ronaldo was telling Chris on the earnings of your members of parliament.
We all know that a normal member of parliament gets 1.3 million rand a year. Now, if you are a chief whip, if you are a deputy minister or a minister or the leader of a political party, that goes up exponentially. So I believe a minister gets 2.4, 2.5 million a year. So their base salary, you can go and Google what that is, but I'm going to give you a little behind the curtain look because, you know, I entered that fray for a little bit, for 3 months. So above that, when you become a member of parliament and you don't live in the Western Cape or specifically in Cape Town, you get a once-off fee to you'll get a once-off payment to establish yourself, and that is 25,000 rand that you get, and that is now to pay for furniture, to go and live in the parliamentary village, or whether it's to move your furniture. In essence, you just get the amount paid into your bank account, so you don't have to give them slips, you don't have to give them anything, you just get 25,000 rand in your first salary. Then, of course, you get the parliamentary housing for people that don't live in Cape Town. Now, that could be a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom house. And, of course, your family can come and live with you or, you know, your better half. Now, on top of that, you get tools of trade. Now, tools of trade gets renewed every 2 years. So every 2 years, once you have the current tools of trade that you have, you can keep that. You can give it to a family member or you can go and sell it on Take a Lot or, you know, on Facebook Marketplace. But the value of that is 75,000 rand. So you get a laptop. You can choose for a high-end HP or an Acer or a MacBook. It's the same with a cell phone. You can choose an iPhone or a Samsung high-end phone. You get a tablet and, you know, once again, a Microsoft tablet or an Apple tablet. And then, of course, all of them are loaded with data. So you get on whatever service provider you're on, so whether it's MTN or Vodacom or Cell C, you get the VIP package. And usually that is 5,000 minutes a month and between 50 to 100 gigabytes a month on your phone. So you don't have to pay for anything of you know, when it comes to data or airtime. Then you get 75 flights as a member of parliament. And that makes sense because you have to fly from one part of the country to the other, whether it's on oversight or not. But what a lot of people don't know is the spouses get flights too. It adds up to roughly 25 flights for a partner, and then 2 flights per year per extra family member, up to 2 family members that taxpayers are paying for. Then, of course, you get PARMED, which is the parliament's medical aid. Now, you can't choose to not use PARMED. And it is a very, how can I put it? It covers a lot more than your normal medical aid. It goes up to 300% above the going rate. So, you know, specialists that usually charge 150% or 200% above the normal rate, don't worry about it. You're covered. You can go and get a beautiful pair of veneers and the taxpayers will pay for that. Now, you pay 6,500 rand a month for that medical aid. So it is a lot when you start off with. But every year that you are a member of parliament, that amount decreases and the government subsidizes the rest. Ultimately, if you are in parliament for long enough, that fee goes down by more than 50%, and that stays with you for the rest of your life. So if you only a member for one term as a member of parliament, after 5 years, you can get a reduced fee of 50%. And then that is that for the rest of your life, which is obviously also something that taxpayers have to fund. But here's the kicker, and this is something that a lot of people don't know. If you are on PARMED, you move up to the top of the list for organ donations. Yes. So if something happens to you whilst you are a member of parliament, if there is this little Yanni that needs a new heart transplant, Sak Yanni, ons wat nie oor jou nie. You get senso om tu nu kort 'n nuwe hart, and then they just move you to the top of the organ donors list. Yes, and you can go and verify that if you don't believe me, but that is that's quite intense.
I have no words. Moving on to the international scenario now, and the biggest market cap of all companies listed anywhere is Nvidia. The microchip maker, which is really a play on artificial intelligence. And our partners at the Financial Times of London covered NVIDIA recently by having a look back at last week's results and the impact that it's had or not on international stock markets. Traders around the world and investors too wait to see how things are going by the impact that the NVIDIA results have. First of all, are they good enough? And secondly, what do they do to other share prices? Here's Katie Martin, who's the markets editor at the FT, with Mark Filippino, the host of the FT News Briefing.
The U.S. chipmaker NVIDIA released a solid earnings report. Sales were up more than 50% last quarter. Its outlook was a little bit more gloomy. The company warned that uncertainty about China sales could slow growth this quarter, which could fan the flames of investor anxiety that all this artificial intelligence hype might fall flat. Here with me to talk about investor thinking is the FT's markets columnist, Katie Martin.
NVIDIA comes out with this, you know, banger earnings report after the U.S. market closes on Wednesday. What happens to its stock and why?
Not a lot happened to its stock, but there was some stuff you could read in between the lines of what NVIDIA was saying that do give some reasons for caution. So let's not muck about with this. They had a great quarter. They had revenues of $47 billion. But as you say, they're reluctant to build future Chinese sales into their earnings outlook for the coming quarters, which is a bit of a kind of way of saying, yeah, we're just not sure how this stuff is going to pan out. Because if you rewind just a couple of weeks, NVIDIA is one of the companies that struck a deal with Donald Trump and the Trump administration recently to say, okay, we're going to restart certain chip sales to China, but the federal government's going to get a 15% cut of the revenues. Right. This is a very unusual thing to do. And they're just not sure how quickly sales are going to come back after this prohibition on selling these types of chips to China has been lifted. So it's all just a little bit iffy.
I think it's important to unpack just how important NVIDIA is in the AI investing story overall.
Honestly, it's hard to overstate. This company is the biggest company in the world. And together with a clutch of other really big technology companies, the likes of kind of Amazon, Apple, Meta, that they occupy a gigantic slice of the US stock markets. Together, like the top 10 companies in the S&P 500 just occupy a really unusually massive slice of the index, like something like 40%. If you really want to, you can get really worried about, because you can think to yourself, there's been this enormous surge into the AI trade over the past 2 years, this idea that artificial intelligence is the transformative technology of the 21st century, and that there's no such thing as throwing bad money into this. It's all going to make money. Even some of the really big executives in this space, you look at Sam Altman from OpenAI, they're the brains behind ChatGPT. Even he is saying, look, there are some investors who are getting overexcited. Now there is a little bit more disquiet, and I don't know, and you don't know how far that's going to run, but it is new and it's worth keeping an eye on.
Katie Martin is the FT's markets columnist.
NVIDIA shares were down about 3.5% after that set of results. And well, it's the one to keep an eye on. Here in South Africa, however, on the Stock Exchange News Service this morning, Blue Label Telecoms, which is the majority shareholder in Cell C, announced that it is going through a restructuring to list Cell C separately. To do this, it's going to be taking 3.7 billion rands in debt. Now, this is a pretty relevant issue because the debt will be converted into equity, which means that it no longer is on the balance sheet and no longer does the company have to pay interest on it. And also there'll be an injection of 7.5 billion rand in what is called airtime inventory. In other words, airtime that it will be able to sell on to other or to its customers. Cell C gets airtime from MTN and Vodacom. And in addition, obviously, to its own airtime. And that's going to rebalance the net asset value and mean that Cell C, on its balance sheet anyway, is worth something. Concerns, though, when you read through the documentation carefully, is there is what is called a resolutive condition, which is an escape clause where SLC can cancel the listing. So it's still highly speculative. Financial results today from the house Brian Joffe built, Bidvest. The conglomerate, chugs along, I guess. Revenue's up by 5%. That was for the year to end June. Dividends being held. Headline earnings per share, though, were down 2%. And the big number there, it used to be called ROFE for Joffe. Well, Joffe's long gone. But ROFE, return on funds employed, down by 3 percentage points in the year to end June. I think Mr. Joffe would have been none too pleased. And finally, from the Stock Exchange News Service this morning, CA Sales Holdings, a company run by a devoted member of the BizNews tribe, did very well again in the half year to the end of June. Revenues only up by 4%. But this fast-moving consumer goods service group, which operates in other parts of the continent, put 16% onto its headline earnings per share. It is listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. It concluded an acquisition as well of 35% in East African company Tradco for just over 100 million rand. On the downside, they're having to reinvest the cash flow that comes with stronger growth, and depreciation of the Botswana pula also affected the results for this period. Well, that is almost your briefing for today, but a final word from the late Neil de Beer and his views taken over the past year or so on politicians. Have a watch.
Suki Cyril.
Suki Cyril Cupcake.
Mugu Cyril. President Cyril Suki Ramaphosa. Mr. Paul Mashitile, ek dra nog dokkets. Our old friend again, Paul Slimy Mashitile. Paul, ek is onrelevant, babyface Mashitile.
Helen Goldziller.
Helen Ziller, a.k.a. in certain people's view, Godzilla.
Beki tafelki stoelki bloody tele.
Beki tafelki stoelki tele, ek skree vir amal.
Thank God and all other thunder that we are getting rid of Becky Telly. I mean, what a astronomic day. If they told me a scoop of rum and raisin or getting Mr. Hat out, it'll be Mr. Hat.
Becky Stoki Tafoki Telly, Fricky Malema, is a red jelly tot.
Julius, commanding chief, honorable leader, president, dictator Gaddafi, Idi Amin Dada.
Julius Fricky Malema.
Julius. Jelly Tot Malema.
The Honorable Minister of Agriculture, John Deere, John Steinhuisen.
Pieter Groenewald, as you know, the doc, Angie Mucheka, the Minister of Not So Good Defense. Mr. Pomp and Ceremony, Talium Poffel.
Yeah, I think his nickname in the EFF is Honorary Butler.
Mr. Jacob Gelly Tlekle Zuma.
Herman Masaba, as we know him, I call him Mr. I and Me.
For Killian Balula, Mr. Fix It Nothing.
Ek doen
for by a man for Kile.
Uncle Gwede.
Oh, Neil, we miss you already. This has been your briefing. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, cheerio.